been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to The Call. This week is not going to be a red eye review. This week, since it's Christmas week, it is a red nose review. That's right. Rudolph's going to help us get all the way through the weekend over to Purple Friday with his red nose. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. That's right. Joining me, as always, Josh. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just getting ready for the Merry Christmas week here. That game was fun. We had a blast on Sunday, man.
Did you? I mean, tell us what that live experience was like on Sunday, because on TV, I mean, it definitely looked like there were a lot of empty seats in M&T Bank Stadium.
Yeah, I'm getting real pissed off at Ravens Nation, and I don't know what John Urschel's tweet was about, but he was probably in the wrong stadium. Kudos to him. I mean, he recognized, he was saying something about how, you know, I don't know if it was for the whole year or what, or just in general, but he was thanking the fans for their support. More or less, and John Harbaugh came out this week. I'm glad you're starting the show with this, because John Harbaugh came out was like, you know, I don't think we have fair weather fans around here. I think we do, and I deal with a lot of them all the time, especially Flacco haters, especially with the team and people not wanting to pay a lot for tickets and blah, blah. I'm like, and I had a free ticket this weekend, free, because I was like, you know what, I'm not going to gouge the body. We suck this year. The injuries, I was like, look, I'll just take somebody. It's Christmas week. I'll take somebody. Couldn't even give away a ticket. I'm like, y'all suck, dude. Like, I'm really tired of it. Like, you know, I'm just getting sick of it. You know, I mean, I know our listeners are true blue faithful because they're always there thick and thin. I know. I talk to them all the time on tweets and Facebook, and they're there. It's not like we're, you know, not getting downloads or not having listeners because we suck this year. I have to appreciate our listeners, man. We're strong. But it's, I don't know, man. And it's just going to get worse. I mean, I seen a lot of, like, we were walking around a tailgate lot, and there's a lot of Chiefs fans walking around here. It's very bold. And then I'm like, okay, where do they all come from? They can't be all Chiefs fans in Maryland. Where are they all coming from? And then the Seahawks fans invaded. And Lord behold, I do not want to see what Pittsburgh, because everybody was like, oh, it's going to be Heinz Field East and on Sunday in Pittsburgh. I don't even want to start. And this is why I hate it when we're bad, because our fans don't show up, other fans invade, and it sucks.
Yeah, this weekend will definitely be an interesting one to see, like, who shows up and who gets those tickets on StubHub and that kind of thing. I'm intrigued to see what happens, but let's stick with this game. I'm right there with you. I don't know if they're fair weather fans. I think the Raven fans are more spoiled than anything. Maybe that's the right way of saying it, because we've had so many good years as the Ravens organization. We've seen the team go to the playoffs so many times. We've had a good quarterback for so many years, a good coach. We've had Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, you know, all these Hall of Famers on the team. And then when things get bad, people immediately are just going crazy and don't know what to do, because we really haven't been in this position many times before. So I think people do care. I don't know if I would be interested to see what it would be like if this continued for the next, like, couple of years, where people would stand for the Ravens organization, because,
well, it's going to happen, dude. I mean, it's going to happen, because we're going to have a lot of turnover. This team's going to look a lot different. I mean, it happens, and I'm getting sick and tired, especially when I was watching Monday Night Football, and it's, you know how the media is. They always got to nitpick everything, and it gets to the point where even the announcers on Monday Night Football were like, the Saints won the Super Bowl how many years ago? And they're like, there's only a few handful of players on that Super Bowl team. It happens. It's the NFL. It's not like it's a big shock. I mean, it's just, it gets redundant. And yeah, I might sound a little bitter and angry. It's just frustrating because it's like people expect the team to stay together. We can't pay these players. This is why Haluti Nada leaves. This is why Ed Reed leaves. We can't hold the talent. There's turnover because there's a salary cap in the NFL. That's what makes the parity, and that's what makes it fun every year because each team has a chance. But as we knew, me and you know, dude, the Ravens are perennial contenders. They're always there. They could have been this year if it wasn't for just the way they started. I mean, the Ravens, it's like having a bad day. When you let's say, you know how, I don't know, are you a kind of a guy like me where if you're rushing in the morning, it sets your whole tone of the day?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, like you don't want to wake up, like, oversleep, the alarm doesn't go off, you're late for work, you spill your coffee, you almost get an accident. Like, it just sets the tone of the day and it makes you agitated. Well, that's how the Ravens season started. It's, we got off to the wrong start, couldn't score any points in offense. Then all of a sudden, in the middle of the season, we were putting up points, but then couldn't stop anybody. We hold Peyton Manning to no touchdowns, and we still lose. It's just like how it goes. And then the season just progresses from there, and it was just kind of like it climated. Like, we missed the alarm. We overslept. We missed the beginning of the season, and it just escalated from there, and then all the injuries just add to it. And it's been very frustrating. And it all comes down to this. I mean, it's our home finale. We have two games left of the season, and it's just – it's a variety of things. And being there on Sunday, when I told you I had fun, I had fun. I mean, I had fun tailgating, had fun interacting with the fans. Just couldn't get my ticket away, so I took an extra seat with me. But I had fun with some Ravens fans in there, and – you know, and we actually, I'd never done this before, because I like my seats and I like the fans around me. But, third quarter, a friend of mine, he, had tickets down low, and he told us there was a whole row that was vacant the whole time. So in the third quarter, we moved down low to enjoy the atmosphere. So, and I didn't send the tweets out. You guys, like I said, I've been focusing this week on wrapping things up at work personally, but this week I'm really going to sit down and I'm going to post some pics, but I got pics of the Ravens cheerleaders and Poe and the cheerleaders in their festive Santa outfit. So I got that.
Yeah.
I got a video of the parachuter coming in the stadium. So I have that. So it was a great festive atmosphere. It just, even the guys I went with, man, they were like, I'm sure it was like that on TV, but it was like, he's like, this is the quietest I've heard the stadium. I feel like I'm at an Orioles game. I'm like, I know, it's usually rowdy, and halftime I lost my voice and I can't talk. I'm like, we're having fun, and we're not really, you know, it just doesn't have that playoff push, two games left in the year atmosphere, man. It's weird.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because, I mean, really, there isn't much for you and I to talk about game-wise. Like, we'll get into that down the road, but, like, besides the atmosphere I wanted to talk to you about, the other two things I want to talk about before we get even into the game is Steve Smith and those uniforms that we saw. So it's weird to be in December, Christmas week, and to, like, that be the two things leading off of what I want to talk about, you know, instead of being like, oh my God, did you see that interception? Did you see this? Did you see that? Yada, yada,
right.
Yada, you know, it's weird to be in that type of mindset, but that's where we are right now. That's the type of season we're in, and it's weird, but that's just what we kind of have to live with right now with the Ravens. But let's move on. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about those pants, man. What was up with those gold pants? They tweeted that out, and I just go, what have the Ravens ever worn that color? What is that
No,
about?
No, they lost their marbles. I don't know whose idea this was. I don't know if this was NFL. They better be thrown in the trash. If I find a pair, and I swear, and I don't think anybody saw this, but it makes me rethink wearing my Santa hat for Christmas this week, but because I have another Santa hat that's purple and black, and it's dirty, and I'll probably still wear it because of that. But did you see my tweet about the color of my Santa hat, and it was inspired by that?
No, what did you say?
It's the same two, dude, I swear not. It's the same two colors. It's that purple and that weird mustard gold looking. Like, it's not even yellow, like Steeler yellow. It's like gold. I don't know what it is, but that was the two ugliest combination you could ever see. I don't know what that was. I don't know if it was because of Christmas week and we were feeling frisky. Please, just, I hope they're in the trash. I don't know, but I know it wasn't the whole color rush uniforms that the NFL is doing because they're horrible. It's Thursday Night Football looked like ketchup and mustard.
Yeah.
And then they should have had the Jets Bills game on Christmas week because that was the true green and blue, or green and red, I should say. But I mean, dude. That, I don't know, but we were tailgating, and it came out, and everybody started talking about 11 o'clock in the morning. The tweet came out and was like, these are the Ravens uniforms, and we saw them hanging in the lockers, and we're like, no. But I couldn't find any pictures of players. But when they came out of the tunnels and I saw that, dude, we all started laughing. Like, everybody's like pointing, like, "Whoa, what's that? What's that?" I'm like, "No." Like, it's like I almost didn't want to watch the game. It was, no. I really was like, I don't know where this came from. I really don't know. I don't know where it came from, but this better be the first and only time that they wear.
I think it will be because there was such a backlash to those pants online. And, you know, if you look at the Ravens jersey, it does have that border around the numbers of that gold. But I like the fact that the gold is not like in your face. You know, it's subtle. That's what I like about the Ravens jerseys. You got the purple, you got black, you got white, and then you have that little bit of gold around the numbers, which is nice, and it's subtle. But when you put it against that purple, I mean, it looks like the LA Lakers or something.
Yeah, it was bad.
And the weird thing is, Harbaugh comes out on Monday and goes, you know, it's something we were trying because it's our 20th season and we wanted to do a traditional look and this, that. And I'm like, traditional look? Like, how is this traditional? This is the opposite of traditional. I guess it's because the Ravens can't have throwback jerseys and helmets because of the lawsuit that happened from the first logo.
Right.
So they're like, let's do something zany and let's wear these gold pants, but terrible idea, horrible, just they looked god awful. I tweeted you, or I texted you as well, and I was just like, I thought the Joe Flacco injury was the low point of this season. No, these pants are the lowest point we can get.
Dude,
in this Ravens
horrible
season.
Fashion statement. They should not be, they should be thrown away, never to be heard from again, torn to shreds, used as toilet paper along with the terrible towels. I don't know, but please, for love of God, don't wear them ever again. And if the Ravens ever get frisky and trying to wear some stupid colors, I mean, you can't condone them and still love them. I'm not going to say, hey, but that was heinous. That was bad. That was any word. That was, I still can't get over it. That was horrible.
Now the Ravens,
I don't know.
Yeah, the Ravens on their website have put up vote for the new Ravens uniform, but they're just doing it for fun because Harbaugh said maybe we'll have the fans kind of put their two cents in to it. And they do
all
have,
black.
They do have some
all
good...
black. As my, I told you, my what do you think? What do you think should be the uniform of choice?
I mean, the purple jerseys. I love the purple jerseys. I love showing that purple. Like, the black is nice for when it's a big-time game. Like, if it's Steelers, Bengals, somebody, you know, in the AFC North. Having the all-black jerseys, all-black pants, everything. That's like a show of intimidation.
Just like Jay-Z would say.
Right. So, I do like the purple jerseys. They never wear the purple jerseys and the black pants. It's usually purple jerseys,
yes,
white pants.
Yes, they do. They've done it, like, twice this year.
Yeah, but it's not like the norm. It's not the norm. It's usually purple jersey, white pants. I think
no, and you wear. Yeah, you wear I could agree with you. They don't do it often enough. My opinion is, I think what they do is I don't like the all white road. I like the black pants, white jersey for the road.
Sure.
Sometimes at home it's pretty cool, but and I also, because that's one of my favorites. The other favorite of mine is, you can't go wrong with all black. All black, I think, shouldn't be their norm. I think all black should be that alternate, like the whole, like you said, like big primetime game. If we have a Monday night game, if we have a playing game for a playoff, or you know, maybe a season opener, or always wear it for Steeler games. I don't know. I think their real home jersey should be black with the white pants. I think that offsets well. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I always look at it this way. The Raven bird's black. I mean, yeah, the reason why purple is another primary color is because when the Raven, if nobody knows the story, when ravens have sunlight shown on their feathers, it gives off a purple and black hue. And it's true. If you Google it and look at it, it does look purple and blackish. And then, like I like you, like what you said, another great one of mine is when the Ravens wear the purple jerseys and black pants, as what I'm actually reviewing right now is when they wore it at the playoff games at home. Mm-hmm. Ray's last dance was like that. So I think that's a great look because it's a good contrast. It's purple and black. It's Raven football. So, and I think that the purple and black, I mean, if they can stick with the black pants, purple jersey, like you said, because you're a fan of the purple jersey, I think that would offset well. That's my opinion, but all black, I'm like that too. I mean, I wear a black jersey, you know, for purposes, because I think the Ravens black and I like black jersey, but that's just my two cents.
They got some interesting choices here, like you can vote on. They have black jersey, purple pants. I don't know how I feel about that one.
No,
they have
no.
Purple jersey, purple pants. This one's not bad. Purple jersey, gray pants. It's actually a pretty good combo. That's probably my favorite. And there's a couple other ones, and one of the options is the gold pants. No, don't ever, ever do that again. Just terrible. All right. So,
not at all. Not at all. We got breaking news, man. Breaking news on the...
Uh-oh. What's our breaking news here?
It's good news. Good news.
Okay.
Sam Cook and Marsha Yanda have been selected to this year's Pro Bowl.
All right. There you go, Sam
there
Cook.
There you go. Yeah. Right on the call. Breaking news.
Very cool. Two guys that definitely deserve it. Marshall Yanda, I think like he just knows he's going to be in the Pro Bowl each year. But yeah, those guys definitely deserve it. They're two pros, two veterans. Congrats to them. That's great news.
Oh, it's awesome, man. I mean, Yanda's been a mainstay here. I think he's another Raven to finish his career here as a full Raven, that never to go elsewhere. I mean, he was drafted. I remember meeting him back when he was drafted. The guy's a stud. I knew he was going to be a mainstay on the line. Definitely, you know, weaning off the Ogden years and forming, you know, he's a guard, you know, and Jonathan Ogden was, you know, forming on the line. And I think Ogden set that precedent for the Ravens as, you know, drafting these linemen, and can't say enough about him. And then Sam Cook, man, when we need him to change field position, he's always been there, you know, putting punts inside the 20, coffin corner punts inside the 10 and the 5. Great job this year. I mean, it's been a down year. It's even exciting to have Ravens in the Pro Bowl to be even considered. But we do have great players, and that's recognizable. Even as bad as we are, and we have 19 players in injury, I think it had another 20th this week because Cracker Gilmore joined the ranks on injured reserve.
Yes, he did, and with not too many games left, I mean, who knows what kind of injury it was. So, you know, with only 2 weeks left, it's probably nothing too serious, I would think.
Yeah, it's shutting them down for the year, man. I mean, it's basically, you know, there's no hope to play. You know, let's get everybody back before recovery next year, and we're going to have Crockett back. Maybe we'll have Steve Smith back, as Steve Smith come out and refuted reports saying, hey, you know, you guys are speaking on my behalf. I can make my own decisions. He tweeted out on NFL Network, as NFL Network was reporting, that sources said that he'd be back, but Steve himself never said that. So we're kind of that wait-and-see approach. As I've always said, I'm not getting excited about it. I mean, I'm personally expect to see him next year. I don't think he's going to go out on top, but we'll see what the future brings next year in the coming year.
Yeah, and you know my stance on this. I've been saying this since he announced it and the Ravens started doing poorly. No doubt in my mind he'll be back. He doesn't want to be known as the guy to go out with the towel over his head. He wants to go out.
No, that was a lasting image. Yeah. Do you want that? No. And Ray even said it too. I mean, it's not the magnitude, but I mean, Ray did it the same way. You know, he didn't want to go out in an injury and in his career. He came back fast and furious and came back and it sparked us a Super Bowl run. So with these kind of players, they don't want to go out injured. No one wants to end their career on an injury. I mean, it's different for some players because if it's a life-threatening injury, I mean, Joe Theismann broke his leg. I'm sure he wasn't the same since then. I mean, it happens. RG3, it happened to him. He hurt his knee against us and has been the same quarterback. That's different because sometimes injuries do affect, and coming back from that can be very tough. But you never, especially in the tail end of your career, especially a story of a career, Steve Smith, who's probably more or less a future Hall of Famer here, you know, don't want to end your career like that. Like you said, tower over your head, being walked off, limped off the field, and especially of all things, an Achilles injury. Something if you tear your knee like Joe Flacco did, you know, you break your arm, something crazy happens, but something small like that is a little old Achilles right above your heel. He's not going to let that go out. He wants to come back and prove that. I mean, he was on pace, man. He had a 1,000-yard season with us the first year. He had over 600 yards with us in like through 6 or 7 games. He was on pace to break 1,200 yards. And he was just a beast for us. Every game, he was just 120-plus yards and a touchdown. So I expect to see Steve Smith back for one more ride here in his third year of his career contract. And moving on from that, like you said, nothing to be said about the game. I mean, it was pretty much a wash from the get-go. But I will state that it gave us some glimmer of hope. How about that Kamara Aiken Hail Mary, man? That was something crazy.
You know, that's good. Kamara Aiken's definitely showing up a little bit. He was, you know, at the beginning of the season, we were worried about that guy, whether or not he could be the number two behind Steve Smith, because he got a little rocky start to this past season. But as the season has progressed, as he's been given more responsibilities, he's turned out to be a great, great wide receiver, and he makes plays happen. And that's something you really need in a wide receiver, is not somebody who can just know the routes and know what what to do. Somebody that will see something, like be able to change their mind, change their body on an instant and make plays happen. And he definitely has that ability. And he showed that this past week. It's great to see Kamar Aiken come into it and come into his own, be a great player like that. I can see him staying with this team for a while. He makes good decisions and he makes plays happen.
He does, man, and I really think that with all the injuries that we could overcome, if everybody comes back healthy, there's going to be a lot more playmakers, especially with Aiken. I think he's going to make the team. I think he's making a name for himself. I mean, earlier in the year, we were like, he can't catch cold. Him and Marlon Brown can't catch that. And all of a sudden, Aiken's like, you know what? I'm stepping up. And he stepped up in a big way. Every game, it's just this guy's catching balls. He's just proven to be the number one guy right now, and he is truly number one on this team. And I think next year, if we can get, I don't know what's up with Perryman, if we can get him back, if we can draft a few guys, if we get a guy from free agency, Steve Smith comes back, Aikens, that young, fresh youth movement for the receivers, I think we'll have a great receiving core. We have the tight ends come back for Flacco. Flacco comes back healthy. We'll be okay with the pieces we have if we can get everything going in the same direction. But Kamar Aiken, I'm very impressed. He's come on late, and he's been a burner for us, man, and he's been great. You know, speaking of that, I can't say enough about the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Besides Kamar Aiken, though, nobody really had a standout game. We saw what happened.
Well, Z got a sack, finally.
Yes, that's very true.
Darius Smith got a sack.
Yeah, you know, we just talked about him last week, so it was good to see him back on.
He listened. He listened to the call and was like, you know what? I'm going to perform for my boys. And he got a sack.
That's what I hope. That's what I hope. And a lot of people were saying he's been kind of non-existent. But again, he's a rookie. This is his first season. And with these games, like Harbaugh said, this is the beginning of the 2016-17 season. And we're seeing what this guy can do. The more experience he can get from these games, the better.
The more the better. I mean, it just, if you get guys, you know, the experience they need and what they're doing this year, we can go places in 2016 if we can get that experience and these players start playing. But we're going to retool this team and see what happens next year, man. I really can't wait to get after it. But enough can't be said. I mean, as far as the game's concerned, again, it's our second consecutive blowout win and or loss.
Yeah, I wish it was a win.
I don't know where. I must be dreaming. But, you know, again, it happens. I mean, the defense tore it up. I did start him in the fantasy as well as Macklin. Macklin scored a touchdown for the Chiefs. I knew the Chiefs' defense was going to be great. Not that great. I mean, they had the fumble recovery and then the pick six, 90 yards. That pretty much sealed the deal. I mean, and the Chiefs didn't really have to do much on offense, man. They took care of the football and let their defense go to work and then let the Ravens play right in their hands. And we just couldn't get anything going. I mean, it was 21-14 at half. It very much could have been still 21-7, two touchdowns, but the Chiefs just took off and we couldn't muster up anything the rest of the second half. So, and it helped out the playoff race because the Chiefs and the Jets both still have that wild card spot, and the Steelers ended up pulling out that stupid, miraculous win against Denver. And we have them this week, man, and we'll definitely break that down on the, like you said, the red nose, the red eye review, or whatever it be. But Chiefs are behind us. Christmas week, Steeler hate week begins. I love it.
That's right. And I wanted to bring up Jimmy Clausen. You know, he threw that Hail Mary, and when he did that, I was like, you know what, this guy, I mean, he's definitely a backup. Maybe he is going to back up Joe Flacco next year. And I saw a little Joe Flacco-esque of him when he was tromping down the field towards the end of the game, and I thought he looked great, but then he made the two bad calls with interceptions, you know, and he looked real bad, and that was not a drive, not the way you want to end a drive. So this guy doesn't know how to finish games. He doesn't have that kind of skill set. We'll see what he can do down the road, but we saw a little bit from Clausen that showed that he has a good head for the game, but definitely not one that I would be confident with, you know, if he was our quarterback for the long term or anything like that. That's what we're seeing now, though, is who's going to be the backup, and Clausen, I don't think he's going to be our number one pick to be our backup, but he's kind of who we're stuck with. You know, I wanted to ask you this. Do you remember that movie 8 Mile? The Eminem movie?
Oh, I love it, man. One of my favorites. Classic all time, man. Great movie.
Doesn't Jimmy Clausen look like the actor that shot himself?
I forget that character's name. It's got to come to me, but yeah.
Doesn't he look like him? I mean, I see him, I...
Right on the street, and they were arguing, he's like, don't put the gun away, you're waving around, and then he puts it and shoots himself in the leg. Yeah, I remember that. I forget the character's name. I'm sure it'll come to me as soon as I stop recording with you.
I know. I'm gonna try to look it up. I like that actor. He was in Jarhead. He's been in a couple other movies. Yeah. Let me see what.
But it was a great movie, Ma. But you're right. He does have that facial like look like that. I mean, a lot.
Cheddar Bob.
Of course, but. Oh, Jim Bob. Yeah.
Cheddar Bob. That was him. Yeah.
There he is, Cheddar Bob. I knew it was something crazy.
I'm trying to figure out what
that
else.
Movie's awesome.
Yeah. Let me see what else he was in because I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. Let's see what else is he in. Jarhead, that's what I remember him from. 8 Mile, he was on ER once. But every time I see Jimmy Clausen, I think of Cheddar Bob in 8 Mile.
There you go, man. So maybe we have Cheddar Bob throw some touchdowns for us this Sunday, huh?
Maybe. He's got to throw one eventually. I mean, we'll see what happens. He was all right, man. Well, did we cover everything for this Red Nose review?
And we covered this one. To the max.
All right, very cool. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can tweet to either one of us. You can tweet me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can tweet to me at ItalianGQ52 as always.
All right, very cool. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about the call and all the other stuff we do at Brando Cash Entertainment. Facebook.com/BrandoCash as well as Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Whenever a new show comes out, be the first to know. We will post it there on our social media accounts. And Josh is always posting cool articles and photos and videos and anything related to the Ravens you can think of is going to be on our Facebook page. So definitely check it out. And you guys have been talking to us on Facebook as well as Twitter. So that's been really cool. So keep that up, guys. You know, we do this show for free. Why don't you guys, as a Christmas present to us, help spread the word about the call? That's all we ask in return. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan still. I listen to the call, and you should, too. So that is it for the Red Nose Review this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much. And we're almost here, guys. Can't wait. It's the home season finale, the prequel to the final season finale. We've made it. We have 2 Ravens games left. I know you're all still with us. Really love it. I can't wait to get it started. Steeler Hate Week, Christmas week. I really hope you all really have a great Christmas this week. It should be great to spend time with your families. A nice 3-4 day weekend or 5 day, or I don't even know if you have all week, but if anybody has great time off. For those who are working, we really appreciate you doing that through the holidays and keeping the world going around for all those who do work on the holidays, especially Christmas and New Year's. But can't wait to get after it. With that being said, have a great Christmas Eve and a very, very Merry Christmas. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high. Here we go.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.